Grade 2 Conference, Lecture 43, The Path of the Teacher, Part 2. Now I want to speak about the astral body and maintaining a degree of health, although we'd have to call it more like sanity on the level of the astral body. Now don't worry, I'm not going to, you know, it's not going to be a terribly personal sort of thing, but what I mean primarily are your relationships. And of course, you wouldn't be listening to this conference if your relationship with your class didn't matter a whole lot to you, and you will find that is a huge matter in the next year. And if you stay on and things work out, continues to be all-encompassing and all-consuming in many ways. And where we have relationships, where there's an interplay between us and those around us, here we're talking about the astral body. As I've said, it's only 50% within us. The rest of our being, of our whole astral being, is outside of us in the web of social relationships that we build. And Steiner has spoken about the importance of relationship as a pillar of Waldorf education, that all education, he says, is about relationships. And he doesn't there mean human relationships per se, but, you know, learning that a chair is blue, you've just put a relationship between an object and a color. Or that the day is long, you've used a modifier, an adjective, and brought about a relationship between that adjective and the day, a noun. So that's the line of reasoning that Steiner was using there. But I would say that we are also very much about a whole set of relationships, and in many lectures I've enumerated these, and I won't go into detail here, but just for you to think about this, the relationship of the child to what he or she is learning and all that that encompasses, the relationship of the child to teachers, the class teacher in particular, but also to all of the specialty teachers. The relationship of the teacher to individual children and to the whole class. The relationship of the teacher to the class parents, which I've said is a very, very important one. The relationship of teachers to one another. The whole issue of colleagueship, which at times will play a very huge part in your life. The relationship of colleagues to one another's children and classes, a very underestimated sort of relationship in Waldorf schools. We don't really think a whole lot about this one, but Steiner was very clear that the teacher should know the name of every child in the school. Just know their name. That alone would bring about a real relationship there. The relationship of parents to other children in the class, to children other than their own. The relationship of parents to one another. Okay, need I go on? It's huge. We're talking about a little city-state here. That our Waldorf classroom plays a very important role in all of this. I've even spoken of the parents as the other two-thirds of the class, that their importance is very great. So with all of these relationships that you are either a part of or perhaps a catalyst for, or that if they're not going well, you're drawn into, like it or not, like conflicts between parents or conflicts between a parent and somebody else's child, you'll be amazed what goes on in the course of 6 or especially 8 years. And there you are again and again. You're very much at the center of it, like it or not. But, please be very careful not to let this be your entire life, not to let your happiness and your sorrow and your sense of achievement or your sense of failure rest only on what goes on in your life vis-a-vis your class in the Waldorf school. Please do not let that happen, because things happen in Waldorf schools that you cannot always control, that circumstances just kind of take off and you're caught up in the middle of it, and suddenly things are not going well at all through no fault of your own, or through a simple misunderstanding, or one slight misstep that you made, and suddenly things are a shambles, or everything falls down around you. If your astral body is completely wound up and bound up with that and that only, it is very, very hard to fall off that horse and get back on again. And in fact, one of the great tragedies of Waldorf education, at least in North America, is how many teachers, after suffering one reversal, and it may be a very big reversal, but it's one reversal, stop teaching. They just walk out the door. I'm not suited to be a Waldorf teacher, or Waldorf schools are really horrible and they, you know, are cruel to their teachers and they don't care about you and whatever. And the reality is that had they just tried one or two other schools, they probably would have had a job again, and they probably would have been perfectly happy in that second or third school, or fourth or fifth school. Don't let it get you down. And at the by the same token, don't let it elate you. Don't let it raise you up. Oh, my parents love me. Oh, our class play was terrific. Oh, the children are doing so beautifully. Did you see the work that they had on display? I'm so proud of them. Wonderful, good. You know, you have every reason to pat yourself on the back, but don't let the astral body get bound up in that way either. Because there again, a Waldorf school in many respects makes it very easy for almost any of us to look pretty good, to achieve things with children that we could never have done on our own. You know, if I had to figure out the Waldorf curriculum and Waldorf methodology and then teach it, I don't know where I'd be right now. Somebody did 99.9% of the work for me, Rudolf Steiner, and then another, you know, 0.0099% was done by the many great teachers who have come before me, and my school had its share, and then I make my little contribution, and because I'm the only one still alive, everybody applauds for me. Don't let that get you up. Don't let that give you a false sense, number one, that, you know, you are so great and grand, and number two, that it's going to last. Don't think it's going to last, because even if all of that is true about you, Waldorf teachers are only human, and where there are human beings and where there are relationships between them, you're going to find factors like jealousy, resentment, and so on. And don't worry, there'll be people waiting in the wings to cut you down to size. So don't let it be the one and only thing in your life. How do you avoid that? If you are single, get a social life, whatever that means. You know, and this is a problem, and it's too late already. I should have warned you before. If you've decided, oh, I really want to teach in that beautiful farm school located on the side of that 20,000-foot-high mountain, and the only road that exists there, it only functions for 1 month a year, So you kind of, you know, go there in September and you stay up there. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. Be very careful about this. There's this kind of insane notion in the United States in particular that only a rural Waldorf school is a real Waldorf school. You know, get out there as far as you can away from the temptations of modern life and everything and all those aramonic devices and the hell spots of cities and so on. And it's going to be great. It's just that where are you going to find any friends who aren't Waldorf teachers or Waldorf parents? Not so easy. Even in cities, it's not so easy to just go out there and find somebody. You know, that's why there are these online dating services and everything, but that's up to you. But I am just saying, be very, very careful that you don't just become a Waldorf nun or a Waldorf priest, but that you also are cultivating a social life. You know, if, I mean, not just in your 20s or early 30s, any age, you have to stay in touch with your old friends. You have to stay in touch with humanity at large. Not everybody is really interested in child development. Not everybody lives and dies for whether little Johnny started to read today or not. And as any number of teachers have said to me, you know, my friends don't want to talk with me anymore. They think I'm totally weird. All I want to talk about are children, and they're just not that interested in it. Well, what are they interested in? Talk about that. Learn how to talk with them about that in the same way that I said, learn how to talk with your dads about politics and economics and sports. Learn how to talk with your contemporaries, with your peers as well. Otherwise, you will be marginalized there. And you add up, you know, you get a few marginalized class teachers in a Waldorf school who don't have any friends except the other teachers and don't really know many people except for the parents. And this is why our whole movement has such a marginalized quality to it. It's not just something that's kind of indelibly written in it. It's the choices that individual teachers make about where they're going to live, how they're going to conduct their life, what they're going to do weekends. And please, please, please do not spend all of your weekend time preparing for Monday. I don't care how wonderful and compelling and important and, you know, whatever you believe it is, it is. It is. It's true. On the other hand, life has its purposes, its reasons too. You know, there's karma outside the Waldorf school as well. There may be people that you need to meet. Maybe you meet somebody at a bar or something, and there's a future Waldorf teacher. You've done a great service for your school and maybe made a friend in the process as well. So please take care about this. This is one of the biggest factors that leads to burnout, that drives people away from the school. They devote everything they've got to it, and then they suddenly realize they are alone. And I'm sorry to speak in such a kind of blunt way about this, but, you know, I've been in the Waldorf movement for decades, and I just have seen too much of this, and it's heartbreaking, and it doesn't have to be this way. Well, you may have been listening to all of this, rolling your eyes and thinking, okay, the only problem is, Eugene, I'm already married. You know, the things you're describing are not an issue for me. My husband and I, my wife and I, you know, we spend plenty of time with each other, quality time, and, you know, we're not really very lonely at all. And I would say they're very good. But again, you know, the astral body has its ways. And once again, you may not feel lonely because you have the school and your parents and the ever-changing tableau of things that are going on, which are always interesting and exciting and earth-shaking and whatever. And then you go home and you have your spouse who's, you know, waiting for you, and you have many things to do together. So, lonely, who, me? What about your spouse? What about your spouse after 6 months of first grade, 1 year of first grade, after second grade, third grade? You know, you're just getting more and more deeply engaged, enmeshed, embedded in the Waldorf school. No, you don't go to a singles bar and talk about child development, but you sit home at supper time, and all that your spouse hears is how fantastic, difficult, challenging, engaging, and so on and so on and so on your school life is, and she or he may barely get a word in edgewise because, you know, he's a stockbroker, or your wife is just, you know, a cardiologist. I mean, come on, how interesting can that be compared to producing a class play or planning a class trip? I mean, that's life. But, you know, being in a hospital and dealing with billions of dollars of equities every year, yeah, that's not really that interesting, right? And here again, if I can give you some advice, and I'm not a marriage counselor by any means, but I'm just going to say once again what I have seen in my own life, what I've seen in the lives of many of my colleagues is, be sure that your conversations at every meal, at all times, whatever, are not skewed in your direction, are not just about Waldorf this and Waldorf that and these parents and those children, but rather that there's always, there's room for your spouse to talk about his and her life, and there is interest coming from you. You just assume that your spouse is dying to hear about your ever so fascinating day, and probably sometimes they actually are, but are you interested to know what's going on in your spouse's life? Or is all of your interest just, you know, zoomed out there, and it's completely enmeshed in the walls of the school, and there's nothing left to bring back home? Be very, very careful about this. And I'd have to say that some of the most successful schools that I know are schools where there are two or three couples who are married and who are Waldorf teachers in that same school. That's a powerful, powerful force, as long as they don't disagree too often about issues. But, you know, then they can just talk about school all the time to one another, and neither one is bored. But for most of us, that is not the case, and it shouldn't be the case. And it's important that there be, you know, this other person in your life who's more in the world than you are, who really has to deal with money or office politics or a skill set that you have nothing to do with, or laws and regulations, you know, all of the things that especially an independent school teacher manages to get away with scot-free. So this is very, very important. Cultivate that relationship. It is very, very important. At times, it's more important than what's going on at school. At times, you may have to sacrifice lesson preparation and a new blackboard drawing in your class and a host of other things so that you can spend important time with that spouse, so that you and that spouse can, you know, have a getaway or something like that. And that's fine. It's nothing to feel guilty about. In fact, it's really a sign of tremendous health. It's just, again, one of these things that gives you an experience outside of the boundaries of the Waldorf school. More to come in the next lecture.